Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 21, 2016, on 6/22/2020. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, "This World Is Not My Home." It's not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are lit up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon home from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No, yeah, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then you're the lucky. The angels beckon home, me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I'm on the go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No, yeah, you know, I have no friend like you. Heaven's not my home, then what will I do? The angels beckon home, me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving mother up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh yeah, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then what will I do? The angels beckon home from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, yeah, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then what will I do? The angels beckon home, from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Mount Zion in the 12th hour, part 7. We're in the tract, Behold, I Make All Things New. And, we're going to continue on with that thread of thought. We're on page 16 of a tract 9, Behold, I Make All Things New. We're on the part where it talks about the purified, they shall stand forever. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Yahweh, they shall cry aloud from the sea, Isaiah 24:14. Wherefore, admonishes the prophet, in view of this prospect, glorify ye Yahweh in the forest, even the name of the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, in the isles of the sea, Isaiah 24:15. Now rejoice in Yahweh while they are passing through the forest, trials. That's the trials that is, 1 Peter 4:12. The faithful shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Daniel 12:10. But who, as the prophet Malachi, speaking of this time and event, may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto Yahweh an offering in righteousness. Malachi 3:2-3. This purified class who stand steadfast during the shaking in the midst of the land, the church, Isaiah 19:24, is also brought into focus in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 24:14. They shall sing for the majesty of the Yahweh, whereas in verse 16 is projected a subsequent purified class who are gathered from the uttermost part of the earth, and from whom are heard songs even glory to the righteous. The shaking, in other words, garners first and second fruits of the saints, the one from the church, the midst of the land, and the other from the world, the uttermost part of the earth. And while those from the church sing for the majesty of Yahweh, those from the world sing glory unto the righteous. Thus we see plainly that the redeemed from the church, the servants of Yahweh, the first fruits, that would be the 144,000, are firstborn, the biblical term for the priesthood of the or the ministry. Okay, now the firstborn means that they are called to be the priesthood. So that's what Verlis Johnson was in 1970. He was the firstborn. When Verlis Johnson was with the Rod people, and V.T. Hollis died in 1955, he was joined with Ben Roden, and Ben Roden was older, and so he was the firstborn to carry on the Rod message. But when the Rod period was up in 1970, Verlis Johnson then became the firstborn of the Spirit. Because this is all a spiritual work when the Holy Spirit calls a person, it's in charge of their commission. And their commission is to do whatever their message is designed for. And Verlis Johnson's message was the Isaac Branch message. And he was going to be in charge of the third feeding pasture. The second feeding pasture had finished up. And so, Verlis Johnson then continued on with the third feeding pasture. Ben Roden closed out the second feeding pasture, the elder, and so he was through with his ministry. Brother Johnson then took over as the firstborn of the Spirit to head up the new feeding pasture, Gilead Center. So that's what it means. And so he was designated then in the position of the priesthood. He was the head. Elder for Gilead Center. So therefore, he took over the priesthood. So, thus we see plainly that the redeemed from the church, the servants of Yahweh, the first fruits, or the firstborn, which 144,000 see, they're the first fruits. And they would be the firstborn of the harvest. Okay, so they would occupy the priesthood position for
representatives of their tribes. There's 144,000 from 12 tribes, and so therefore you would have 12,000 from each tribe representing the priesthood for their tribe. The biblical term for the priesthood or the ministry stands firmly during the shaking in the midst of the land, with the result that they carry the truth to all nations during the shaking in the world, thereby taking salvation to many. These two classes of the living are necessarily, therefore, the only redeemed who are left after the shaking. They are spared, delivered from the destruction, because their names are found written in the book. Daniel 12:1. And they are not left on the earth while it lies in a state of broken, desolate, and void, but rather are left from the destruction. Isaiah himself makes plain when he says the inhabitants of the earth are burned and a few men left. Isaiah 24:6. These words do not even imply that the redeemed are left on the earth during the time of its desolation, but are left spared from the destruction, consolidating the facts before us. We find that the millennium is ushered in by a sixfold series of events occurring in the order in which they are named. Number one, Elohim destroying the hypocrites in the church. Number two, calling his own out of the nation and then bringing them into the purified church, the kingdom. And number three, closing prohibition. Number four, destroying the wicked. Number five, resurrecting the righteous dead and translating the righteous living. Number six, and finally making void the earth. With the culmination of these six end events, the time of which the Bible calls the end of the world, the curtain falls forever on the ages long drama of sin and redemption. Aforetime, though, this gospel of the kingdom, the signs of the end, Matthew 24, shall said Yahshua be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations now existent, and then shall the end come, Matthew 24:14. And it shall have come to pass as written, that the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, Revelation 6:14. For thus hath the Yahweh said, the whole land shall be desolate, adding though, yet will I not make a full end, Jeremiah 4:27, leaving a promise for the renewal of the earth. Looking forward to the disintegration of the earth and the earth, the Apostle Peter said, we according unto his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, 2 Peter 3:13. And John the Revelator permitted in prophetic vision to see beyond as well as before the millennium, writes, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, whereas during the 1,000 years they dwell with him. Revelation 20:4. And they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them, and be their Elohim, and Elohim shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his son, and he shall be my son. I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, Revelation 21, 1-8. So it said that, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, Revelation 21, 1-8. I'm reiterating there a little bit. But anyway, it says, Since the prophets and the revelator too saw the first earth and the first heaven pass away and new ones replace them, anyone would be as foolish as he would be dishonest to gainsay and oppose this plain truth, thereby deceiving himself and confusing others. So, the need is very urgent that all give careful consideration to the ensuing. Further sound reason, were the earth not to be laid waste at the beginning of the millennium, what need would there be of making all things new? Revelation 21:5. If furthermore during the millennium age the saints were not to dwell in heaven, then there would be no need of having the new Jerusalem. Revelation 21:2-10. There, and if still further the saints then live on the earth, the voice of prophecy would not say they lived with Yahshua, but rather that Yahshua lived with them. And finally, if they reign with him on the earth, where they are to live forever, prophecy would not say that they reigned with Yahshua 1,000 years, but rather that they reign with him forever. See, John, as he looked forward to the time that Yahshua will live and reign with him on the earth, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Savior and of his Messiah. The kingdoms of our Yahweh, the Father, and of his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And he shall reign forever and ever, Revelation 11:15. And the kingdom and dominion, declares Daniel, concerning the saints reigning with him. And the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Daniel 7:27. If heaven is the redeemed, shall reign with Yahshua only 1,000 years, whereas on earth he shall reign with them forever and ever. For the heaven, even the heavens, are the Yahshua's, but the earth hath he given unto the children of men. Psalms 1:15-16. For thus saith Yahweh, that created the heavens, Elohim himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Yahweh, and there is none else. Isaiah 45:18. Seeing that the scriptures say that much about the heaven, also about the heavens made new, the responsibility therefore of ascertaining the difference between heaven and heavens rests upon every seeker of the truth. Pursuant to this end, we must consider first the heaven and the beginning, that there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, spoke to Yahweh upon creating the earth. And let it divide the waters from the waters, and Elohim made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And Yahweh called the firmament heaven, Genesis 1:6-8. In the beginning, the Yahweh Elohim had not, let us remember, caused it to rain upon the earth. Genesis 2:5, and water was above the firmament as well as under the firmament, and the firmament he called heaven. Genesis 1:7-8. These divided waters could not be the water in the clouds, which now serves to water the earth, for the upper waters were not in the midst of the firmament, as are the clouds, but above it. So just as the earth was surrounded by the firmament, so also was the firmament surrounded by the water. The earth was, in other words, twice enveloped, as shown in the illustration, first by the firmament, then by the water. Since both the firmament and the water was transparent, and the water formed just a thin blanket around the firmament, the sun's rays shone on the earth just as brightly then as they do now. And since, too, the rays of the sun at that time hit the water before they were cooled off by passing through the heavy sheet of atmosphere, they were hotter when they reached the water above the firmament than they are now under the firmament when they reached the earth. Being first diffused by the water, the rays made it hot in turning by circulating around the firmament. The hot water warmed the earth evenly everywhere, at the poles as well as at the equator. The only variation in temperature was incident to the presence of light day and absence of light night. Consequently, then, as now, the night was cooler than the day. But as this condition no longer prevails, obviously, at some time a cataclysm caused the breakdown of Earth's heating system. In the beginning, the now frozen regions of the poles flourished with vegetation and abounded with animals, which geologists now find preserved in the ice. Who then could doubt that the water above the firmament was the earth's heat equalizing system? But as soon as the water in fulfillment of Noah's prediction began to come down, in fact, even before it had any chance to descend to the lower places of the earth, this natural thermostatic system was quickly broken down, and the rain as it fell on the earth froze so suddenly in the polar regions that the animals, while yet alive, froze with it. They evidently had not time even to swallow their food. It is actually established by the various archaeological exhumation. The earth, now being without its heat equalizing system, is affected with intense heat whenever the sun is in such a position as to send its rays through the least thickness of the atmosphere, as is the case of noonday. When the sun shines straight down instead of on a slant, and with even intenser heat, whenever there is a density of atmosphere such as is caused by humidity and low altitude, whereas conditions opposite to these bring an opposite extreme, the fluctuating, uncomfortable atmosphere stream brought about by the flood are just another of the results of the curses which followed man's unbelief in divine warnings and reproofs and his disobedience unto Elohim's commandments. This adverse derangement of nature thermostat, with the resultant uncomfortable condition on earth, both of which cry out not only for a new earth but also for a new heaven, turns our attention to the solar system. Okay, the solar system. Inspiration declares that the sun was created on the fourth day of the week of creation. And the astronomical science has discovered that in our solar system, there are, besides the planet Earth, eight other planets descending are dependent on the sun for light, heat, and life-giving energy. The probability is that three more planets will be discovered according to Genesis 37:9, and other facts that must needs be 12 major planets in our solar system during the week of creation. Consequently, Yahweh must have created not only the earth, but also the entire solar system. Okay, let's continue here now. So Vitihalif, according to this, he is saying that the entire solar system then was created at the same time he created this earth, on the fourth day of creation. So if Yahweh can speak this earth into existence, then he can speak the whole solar system into existence.
Anything he wants.
And, so it's pretty awesome. Otherwise, the planets in existence, in the existing without benefit of the sun, life-sustaining influence would necessarily have suffered an uninhabited and altogether useless existence. Inspiration, moreover, says also that in the week of creation, Yahweh created the earth, sun, moon, and the stars also. Genesis 1:16. Without a sun, our solar system would have been but a planetary assemblage without a controlling unit, left to careen and hurtle headlessly through space, only to endure at the merciless caprice of the fortuitous circumstance, an unending succession of the accidental collisions created and set in motion together, though by the hand that sustains them, all the planets safely follow the sun as it sweeps through space at the tremendous velocity of 400 million miles a year. Our earth, our heaven and earth, therefore, being a unit in the solar system, then both their passing away and their being renewed necessarily involves the entire system. Not only our heaven, consequently, but also the heavens need to be renewed. So, in other words, Yahweh is going to make everything disappear, going to destroy everything. The whole solar system is going to be completely wiped out again. Each one of the planets in our solar system being surrounded by its own firmament or heaven, there are consequently as many heavens, firmaments, as there are planets in the system. To these planetary heavens apply the following scriptures. For this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black. Jeremiah 4:28. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a fallen fig from the fig tree, Isaiah 34:4. But the day of the Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away, and with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3:10. Now I understand more clearly about the first 3 days of the creation of this earth in Genesis chapter 1. It talked about the first 3 days of creation, that earth light. We had earth light. The Father and the Son were here creating this earth. And they brought their own light with them, called earth light. Had to have light on the scene if you're going to work. And so Yahweh showed the 24-hour day plan with the earth light for the first 3 days. And then he created the lights in the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, to punctuate the 24-hour time here on this earth. But I'll tell you what, those other planets, I believe, have probably the same time period, 24-hour days. Anyway, they just go on. So anyway, what I'm saying, though, if the whole universe is destroyed, then there is only one place. There's only one place in existence, and that's heaven, where the New Jerusalem is at, and where the saints have all been gathered to. They have to be gathered there, because everything is dissolved in the solar system, including this earth. So Yahweh had to have a place to secure all, and so there's only one place, and that's the heaven of heaven, where Yahweh's throne is at today. Okay. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vessel shall they change them, and they shall be changed. Psalms 102, verse 26. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, said Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. Isaiah 6:22. As a result of sin on earth causing all creation to groan, Romans 8:22, the whole solar family has suffered. The foregoing scriptures show that not only the earth but also the heavens have waxed old under the curse of sin. That sin is a contagious disease with far-reaching results. That whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. 1 Corinthians 12:26. That Elohim is to make an absolute riddance of sin, and consequently that he will make void not only the earth, but also the entire solar system. And that while making the earth new, he will make new the solar system also. What do you imagine against the Yahweh? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Nahum 1:9. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Revelation 21:15. Okay, behold, he says further, speaking in view of the day that he will execute an utter end, and I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, Malachi 4:5. Hence Yahshua's word, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Okay, this is interesting, because we have Yahweh sending an earthly ruler, actually a carnal, fleshly ruler, that has been raised up in righteousness, but nevertheless he appears as a very carnal, fleshly person. That's Donald Trump. Now, what's he doing? Is he's correcting all of the nations to learn how to get along with each other. And no doubt it's causing a very great revolution. But Yahweh has given him the mind and the ability, and he has promised him success, and he will support him by the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish his work. And he will also give him wisdom and understanding and knowledge, as he has already, to accomplish his work. Shall restore all things, Matthew 17:11. Now this is his antithetical Elijah. Though lost through sin, all created in the beginning will be restored in the times of restitution of all things, which Elohim hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, Acts 3:21. Having created the sea before the beginning of the sin, then to do away with it after the extinction of sin, as some teach, that he is to do, would certainly not be his restoring all things, but rather his doing away with them, and would imply that in the beginning he made a mistake. in creating the sea. Thus, belying his pronouncement that it was good, Genesis 1:10. Since, moreover, the serpent, not the sea, caused Adam and Eve to sin, Genesis 3:1-7, since the serpent is to be in the kingdom restored, Isaiah 65:25, why then should Elohim do away with the sea? Yahweh is jealous, declares the prophet Nahum in his vision of the time of the end, and Yahweh revenges and is furious. The Yahweh will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Yahweh is slow to anger and great in power, and will not all acquit the wicked. The Yahweh hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languishes in Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languishes. Okay, it says, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Yahweh is good, a stronghold in a time of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. Well, what do you imagine against Yahweh? He shall make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Nahum 1:2-9. I saw, says John the Revelator, likewise, after beholding the desolation of the earth, a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Revelation 21:1. When was there no more sea? When the first heaven and the first earth passed away. The scripture does not say that there shall not be any more sea in the earth made new. It simply says that there was no more sea, while the heaven and the earth were in their removed state, passed away. In other words, the first part of the verse envisages a new heaven and a new earth, whereas the last part foretells of no more sea before the new heaven and the new earth are made. Okay, thus, on the absolute finality of his own word, Yahweh is to bring all things to an end, even to drown the rivers and the seas, while he is making clear riddance of sin. Since along with our heaven and earth, therefore, our whole solar system is to pass away, not only the saints from the earth, then, but with them also the sons of Yahweh. From the whole system shall live and reign with Yahshua in the heaven of heavens for 1,000 years. Oh, what a privilege, what an opportunity, what a gathering that will be. I have seen the tender love that Elohim has for his people, and it is very great. Heaven is a good place. I long to be there, and behold, my lovely Yahshua, who gave his life for me, and be changed into his glorious image. Oh, for language to express the glory of the bright world to come. I thirst for the living streams that make glad the city of our Elohim. Okay. Early writing, page 39. The most glorious reward impels one to study further to know the truth, to the revelation, the unfolding of the prophecies, therefore, one is led for an examination of the important millennial events. Let us give undivided attention to the scriptures which record the things that are to take place just before the 1,000 years begin, the things which will bring about the millennial age of the peace as revealed to John. I saw a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, Okay, it says, King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns, Revelation 19, 11 and 13, 16 and 16. Here Yahshua reveals himself not as a priest or as a lamb, but as the King of Kings, treading the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty Elohim, Revelation 19, 15. This is his slaying of the wicked. Slain of the wicked. The angel standing in the sun cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great Yahweh, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And their remnant, the king and captains and mighty men and horses, and them that sit on them, and all men, both free and bond, both small and great, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19:17-21. A final work from which it is readily seen that the wicked are slain just before the millennium. Since after the millennium the wicked are not slain, and their flesh is not eaten by the fowls, but rather destroyed with fire. Revelation 20, verse 9. Revelation 19:17-21 is seen to refer to a pre-millennial destruction. Decisively, therefore, the King of Kings is to slay just before the millennium, all except the righteous, except those who get the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over the mark and over the number of his name, Revelation 15:2. Then shall the righteous dead be raised, whereas the wicked dead remain in their graves, and along with the wicked living, all of whom are then slain by the Yahweh, live not again until the 1,000 years are finished, Revelation 20, verse 5. Since, moreover, at the commencement of the millennium, when the wicked are slain, the heaven and the earth pass away, then as a result, the saints remove to another sphere. As the Revelation says that they lived and reigned with Yahshua 1,000 years, Revelation 20, verse 4. Yahshua does not therefore live with them on the earth, but rather they live with him in the place which he prepared for them, and of which John says, after sin, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and replaced with a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation 21:1. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, Revelation 21:2. The wicked being then hid in their graves, and the righteous being gone to live with Yahshua, hence Satan is left alone, wandering in the earth until the resurrection of the wicked. Revelation 20, verse 13. Satan is confined to 1,000 years of solitary, bound by this chain of circumstances. He is unable to deceive the nations, Revelation 20, verse 3, till the dead who live not again until 1,000 years were finished arise to life following the judgment during the millennium. If an earthly judge does not convict and condemn a criminal without benefit of a trial by jury, certainly then the all-just Elohim of heaven will not. He will not pass final sentence upon the wicked, convicting them of sin and condemning them to die the second death, Revelation 20, verse 14, until after he has given the saints, the jury, opportunity to witness for themselves the judgment of the wicked, the husbands, wives, children, relatives, friends, and acquaintances, then missing from the mansions above, and to examine their records which show while they are not there, but instead are moldering in their graves below. Let no excuse be left to anyone for ignorance or error on this truth. John was shown not only the great white throne on which sits the Judge, eternal, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, Revelation 20, verse 11, but also other thrones or seats on which evidently sit the jury, and instead of only 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, Revelation 5, 11, or of angels as witnesses, he saw present on this occasion also the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahshua and for the word of Elohim, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Yahshua 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 4 and 5. For the fact, though, that the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished, Revelation 20, verse 5, shows that those present before the throne were resurrected, but the dead, small and great, who do not rise in the first resurrection, Revelation 20, verse 6, John saw figuratively stand before Yahweh, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works, Revelation 20, verse 12. With the close of this work come the events after the judgment. When the judgment was over and the 1,000 years gone, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according unto their works. Revelation 20, verse 13. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them, and be their Elohim, and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away, Revelation 21, 2-4. Having descended with the saints, who are to reign forever, with him on the earth made new, Yahshua calls forth the wicked dead from their graves, while simultaneously a great voice out of heaven is heard saying, Behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, Revelation 21, 3. Whereas during the 1,000 years, they have lived with him, Revelation 20, verse 4. Whereupon, Satan is loosed for a little season. By the resurrection of the wicked dead, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea, Revelation 20, verse 7 and 8. Concerning this little season in which Satan will be allowed to deceive the nations, the prophet Isaiah heard the Yahweh say, For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad, and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more offense an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Isaiah 65:17-20. The reader will observe that when the Yahweh creates the new heavens and the new earth, then from the time that the wicked arise from their graves to the time that they are destroyed forever, by the second death, the little season, there shall be no more thence among them an infant of days, no more births, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, no more a death before man's days are fulfilled. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner been 100 years old shall be accursed. Both the old and the young, that is, those who remain in their graves during the millennium, will afterwards come forth together, each to live 100 years. The little season in which Satan will again deceive them, there will be neither death nor birth, but all the wicked will then be forever accursed by the second death. That portion of the new earth which the feet of the wicked have trodden and defiled during the short season will be purified by the fire coming down from Yahweh out of heaven and burning them and their works, while those who will inhabit the new earth for eternity will be shielded in and about the holy city, Revelation 21:2. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from Yahweh out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:9, 10, 14, and 15. Since not only Satan, but also whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, the fire in the lake simply continues the same destruction wrought by the fire which comes down from Yahweh out of heaven. Revelation 20:9. After 1,000 years, in other words, the fire which comes down from Elohim out of heaven results in the lake of fire, Revelation 20:10, and in the eternal extermination of all sinners. Now, this final destruction, a premillennial demonstration, is to be given when the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire, their grave for 1,000 years. And as the fire does not, of course, keep burning during the 1,000 years, the statement the devil was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, Revelation 20:10, shows therefore that there are both a typical and an antitypical destruction, the lake of fire before the millennium being the type of the one after the millennium. Okay, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, says the apostle, what manner of person ought you to be? For the scriptures exhort that those in the truth be in all holy conversation and righteousness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of Yahweh, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according unto his promise, look for the new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. 2 Peter 3:11-14. And the more so now while he is setting up his kingdom. In that day when Yahweh is about to make empty the earth, he shall set his hand again the second time, says the prophet Isaiah, to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria, and from from Egypt, and from Patros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth, Isaiah 11:11-12. The work of gathering set forth in these scriptures shows that before the resurrection of the righteous, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and before the premillennial destruction of the nation, the Yahweh is to make up his kingdom at first of the living saints only, as seen from the prophecy of Daniel 2, the stone being cut out of the mountain, Daniel 2:45, and being symbolical of the kingdom of Yahshua in its beginning, Daniel 2:44. Then the mountain from which it is cut out must necessarily represent the church, from which the first fruits of the kingdom, the 144,000, are gathered. And as the stone grows and becomes a great mountain, Daniel 2:35, after it is cut out, it obviously at first represents the kingdom in its infancy, the first fruits only. The fact also that the stone grows and fills the whole earth is another evidence in the proof that after this long-looked-for kingdom is set up, a great multitude is to join it. Were this not so, then the stone could not become a great mountain. It's been, furthermore, at first but a very small part of the mountain shows that the kingdom has a very small beginning, just as the Yahshua said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, Matthew 13:31-32. The mountain of the kingdom of Elohim clearly then is begun with the first fruits of the living, 144,000, and followed by the second fruits of the living, the great multitude, Revelation 7:9, and is completed with the first and second fruits of the dead, the 120, are those who receive the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, plus those who arose with Yahshua, Matthew 27:52-53. Plus the great multitude accepted him after the Pentecost, Acts 5:14. Plus all who awake unto everlasting life in the resurrection of Daniel 12:2, plus the remaining dead of all ages who rise on the great resurrection day, Revelation 20:6, also those of Ezekiel 37:1-14. And going back to Daniel's prophecy, there we find the days in which the kingdom is set up. Okay, it says, in the days of these kings, not after, but in the days of the kings who are symbolized by the feet and toes of this great image, shall the Elohim of heaven, says Daniel, calling attention unto the kingdom at its beginning, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it, the kingdom, shall break in peace and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever, Daniel 2:44. Thus we see that while the nations of our age is symbolized by the feet and toes of the great image of Daniel 2:41-42, are yet in existence, Yahweh will set up the kingdom with which he will overthrow them. Then it shall be said, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Savior, and of our Yahweh, and of his Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and he shall reign for ever and ever, Revelation 11:15. This brings close our steps this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song entitled Farther Along.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never more lasting, though in the wrong. Further along we'll know all about it. Further along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, living in sunshine. We'll understand it, oh, by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and dim. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year? Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, living in sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Fate foretold death, said,
our loving Master. A few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will them see as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, living in sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Yahshua coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it.